Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at the Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with us for this Monday afternoon's Ask the GP. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you've a question for Nina this afternoon. Lots coming in, Nina. This texter is wondering, they've a grade 2 hemorrhoid. The consultant said that he couldn't band it as it's prolapsed, but it's in agony. Recommended a fibre diet. Will this help it go away on its own, and how long will it take?
So I suppose the easiest way to explain hemorrhoids to people is it's like having a varicose vein in your back passage. So they're inflamed veins. OK, so when they get irritated, they get inflamed, and occasionally you can get a little clot in it. And that's when they get really painful. You get a tiny clot. That clot left will dissolve over 5 to 7 days. But sometimes it's so severe that you're not going to bear the pain for that time. So that's where people end up going to the emergency department, and they sometimes release the blood clot from them. So when a hemorrhoid settles down, it never goes away completely. The vein is still there. And that's why some people are left with these kind of soft little lumps outside the back passage that are kind of annoying, but not causing them any problem. So I suppose looking at this, if it's a prolapsed hemorrhoid, if it's extremely painful, there could be a clot in it. So you need to go see your GP and see if they can help you with that. Over time, it will soften. And the most important thing after that is to make sure that you don't get constipated, that your bowels stay soft, because anything that puts pressure is going to irritate them and flare them. So classically, you know, pregnancy is a big flare time for women, you know, squats, things like that, anything that puts pressure down into the pelvis, but obviously constipation being a very big one. So I suppose to answer the question, it's not going to go away, because the vein is not going to go away. But if it kind of softens and the stool stays soft, it might not cause you any problems.
Texter has a burning sensation in the roof of their mouth. In my left cheek and throat. Should I go to the GP or dentist? I'm not sure if it's dental as a result of my thyroid nodules or burning mouth due to perimenopause. What does the GP think it could be?
Yeah, so this is something, you know, GPs will often say is if you've an issue with your mouth, the dentist is a better place to start, because obviously the majority of things that cause pain in your mouth can be coming from your teeth and gums. So it's always worth going to your dentist, having a checkup, making sure it's nothing to do with your teeth and gums. If that is excluded, then maybe go down to your GP. There are different things. Burning mouth syndrome that they refer to is an extremely rare condition.
What is that? I've never heard of it before.
It's basically where people get this sort of tingling feeling in their mouth, and they can get it on their tongue classically, or they can get it in the roof of their mouth or the back. So it causes this intense sort of burning, tingling feeling. Right. They find it very hard to describe. Sometimes comes and goes for periods of time. They might get it for a while and then it might go away. If it's really problematic, and this would actually be incredibly rare. I mean, I can think of one patient I know who's had prolonged burning mouth syndrome. We sometimes do prescribe some kind of nerve-based tablets to calm it down. But again, to answer the question, I guess, if there's something going on in your mouth, go to your dentist to make sure it's nothing to do with your mouth, because the dentists are much better at that than your GP is. And then go to your GP and we'll figure out if it's a nerve issue or not.
This texter is looking for advice around severe travel anxiety and homesickness while in a different country.
So I suppose anxiety is anxiety, and different people have different triggers. And obviously for this person, travelling and being away from home is a trigger for them. So I think it's definitely worth considering some counselling or psychotherapy to try and get to the bottom of that. Why is it? You know, anxiety is sort of a sense of not feeling safe, but the different things will make you feel like that. So what is it about being away from home has you feeling like that? And maybe exploring some of that can help this person understand it. And in understanding, they might feel it kind of subsides.
Yeah, okay. 46 and experiencing breast pain, assuming it's perimenopause. I'm taking primrose oil and clean marine tabs to try and reduce the symptoms. Is there anything else I can take? I do have a mammogram book, though, to eliminate anything else.
So I suppose what I would say is breast pain is not a normal symptom of menopause. You don't have to have breast pain. So, but breast pain can occur throughout the cycle and in women of all ages. So certainly trying some evening primrose oil and clean marine, they're popular. Simple painkillers, something like paracetamol or ibuprofen, can work quite well, especially if the pain is, say, just coming up to your period or that, because that might be a bit of breast engorgement, and taking anti-inflammatories, assuming you've no reason not to take them, can be quite helpful. If you're 46 and you've ongoing issues, I'm assuming if you've been referred for a mammogram, someone has examined your breasts and to make sure that there's no lumps or anything there, but that seems like an appropriate thing to do as well.
Okay. Can you take Pregnacare vitamins if you've thyroid issues? We're trying to conceive, but I want to give my body the best chance.
So the short answer would in general be yes, but most multivitamins have iodine in them. And if you've had an overactive thyroid and you've had iodine treatment and that, you might need to be just a little bit careful about the doses of iodine you're taking. So again, without knowing exactly what the thyroid issues, I can't answer that directly. But for the majority of people who have any thyroid issues, taking pregnant care vitamins is completely fine.
OK, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener, Nina, is looking for advice for dealing with vertigo. They're taking meds, but when they stop taking them, the symptoms are still there and they're 2 weeks in now.
So vertigo is that sensation of the room spinning. And I think we talked about it before. It's when the message from your ear to your brain and your eye to your brain aren't matching, and that mismatch makes you feel dizzy. We do sometimes prescribe medication, although more and more we're seeing from the vertigo specialists, they don't like medication being prescribed too early on because there's some evidence that maybe it prolongs the symptoms when you stop it, which might be what's happening with this person. Physiotherapy, specific physiotherapy, can be very effective for vertigo. So I always sort of say to patients who have it, go along to physio, have what they call vestibular physio, which goes through these exercises, trying to rebalance the balance cells in your ear and doing exercises to improve the message between the ears and the eye. Obviously, going to your doctor and making sure there's nothing like an ear infection or a sinus infection that's making you more prone to this. But in older people, particularly if you're feeling very dizzy, it's quite rare, but sometimes vertigo symptoms can actually be the sign of a stroke. So it's also important to have that ruled out. Yeah.
This listener is trying to conceive. They've had one miscarriage followed by one chemical pregnancy. What blood tests should I be asking my GP for? Is it a full panel of thyroid?
So I'm very sorry to hear you've had two miscarriages, first of all. That's very difficult. The good news is that the evidence would suggest if you've had three or less miscarriages under 12 weeks, that it doesn't reduce your chance of a successful pregnancy down the road. So in general, they don't tend to do very detailed tests unless it's sort of an unusual or late miscarriage. And so the chemical pregnancy, that's often just a pregnancy that doesn't establish itself fully, but it's worth just making sure that that all followed up okay. In general, we would do a general panel of bloods because a lot of people, you know, it's easy for me to say we don't do any tests unless you've had three. But if you're the person sitting there having had two, you certainly want to make sure there's nothing obvious. So having general bloods done, checking your thyroid, making sure it's within normal is worthwhile. We don't tend to do more detailed thyroid tests unless something might show up in your family history or in the initial bloods. But again, go have a chat with your GP, a general checkup, and just making sure things are generally well. But hopefully you will proceed and have a healthy pregnancy. I wish you the best with that in the future. Yeah.
This listener has sore joints in their two hands since April. They flew back from holidays and their hands were swollen after the flight. Any thoughts on what it could be?
So actually, interestingly, it would be lovely to know which joints, because actually, depending on where the swelling is in your hands, it can be different types of arthritis. So classically, osteoarthritis gets the tips of your fingers, whereas the inflammatory arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, hits the joints that are kind of closer to your hand and maybe hits your wrists. You can have fluid, you can have a thing called carpal tunnel syndrome, which is where you get sort of congestion in the wrists. It's more common in pregnancy and other things, but that can cause pain kind of coming through your wrist into your hand. And that can happen with both. Physiotherapy and some splints can help with that. If this is going on a few weeks, go have a chat with your GP. They'll have a look at your hands and see if it's anything. It could be if it's immediately after flight. Mm. Some people do retain fluid, which can cause some of those carpal tunnel type syndromes in some people.
This listener has a mole on their back, which is tingling over the last few months. It's not all of the time, but quite a bit. It isn't sore, but it's just annoying. Any ideas?
So I think any mole that's causing you any issues, if a mole that's been sitting there doing nothing for a long time is suddenly tingling or itching or causing you any symptoms, you need to get it looked at. It may be that it's completely benign and your GP might be happy to say, no, that's completely fine. But I guess especially when it's on your back and you can't see it yourself very well, it's worth getting a professional to look at it.
And is that just to the GP and they might refer you on, or?
Yeah, exactly. Go to your GP. And a lot of GPs are very experienced in looking at moles and they can always refer you on then to a number of different places, dermatology, or there are some GPs who special interests in skincare, and some GPs would have a special light called a dermatoscope where they can look down into the mole themselves.
Okay. Texture was recently diagnosed with stage one and two prostate cancer. The surgeon wants to remove the prostate. Should I be looking for a second opinion? Maybe not a surgeon this time, as there seems to be a lot of non-surgical treatments that are out there.
So this is very much something to discuss with your urologist, which is the specialist in prostate cancer. And there are lots of different studies and different kind of ways of looking at prostate care. And there isn't really a general consensus as such. But your urologist is no doubt making that decision based on the best evidence that's out there at the moment. I don't think any doctor ever minds someone getting a second opinion. So, I mean, if you're a bit confused as to what your urologist said, I'm sure they would be completely happy for you to go to talk to someone else. It's quite likely you'd get the same answer, but at least then it would be reassuring to you if a number of people have said the same thing. So I always say that to patients, you know, doctors don't have an issue with you seeking a second opinion
advice,
because we like to give our advice based on evidence. And if we're providing it from the proper evidence, you should be getting the same advice wherever you go. So have a chat with your GP, have a chat with your urologist, and no, don't be afraid to express your concerns is what I'd say there.
Okay. Listeners 42, female, and in the last couple of weeks, very suddenly their hair has started to fall out at an alarming rate where there's ball patches starting to appear. My eyelashes have also started falling out too. I know I'm of perimenopausal age and have been under some stress. Is there anything I can do to slow down the hair loss though? I know the obvious is a less stress, but is there any medication or supplements maybe you could recommend?
Well, so if you've suddenly started losing a lot of hair and you're getting patches and your eyelashes are falling out, you know, I wouldn't put that down purely to stress. The autoimmune alopecia can lead to this kind of total alopecia where you lose the hair all over your body. So I think go along to your GP and let them have a look. You know, simple things like a fungal infection of your scalp and any kind of, you know, psoriasis or dermatitis of your scalp can also cause irritation and sometimes can lead to more localized sudden hair loss. So yes, stress can play a factor, but I wouldn't just be taking supplements for this. I'd go along to your doctor. You probably need some bloods just to make sure there's nothing else that that can be looked after as well.
And just finally, Nina, for the moment, I've had plantar fasciitis for the past few years and I've had two lots of injections and I do stretch exercises. Could you recommend anything else?
Plantar fasciitis can be a really difficult one to treat.
Very
and it
painful.
Sounds like you've had all the kind of recommended treatments. And, you know, most people don't even get to where they need injections because in the majority of cases, thankfully, it settles down. But it sounds like this person has been kind of unlucky. Sounds like
it's
you're doing everything.
Foot,
it's where you get sort of the fascia, which is sort of the thick fibre, I guess, on the base of your foot. You know, when you put your foot to the ground in the morning, it gets sore. And then, you know, one of the older exercises, just rolling your foot on a kind of a bottle of water. Physios will help you with stretching. But I don't really know what to say to this person because it sounds like you've had all the advice that's recommended. So maybe just go back and have a chat with your doctor and your physio and just see is there anything that can be mixed up to maybe give you some relief.
Listen, loads more we didn't get to, but we'll keep them for next Monday afternoon when you're back with us. That's, of course, Dr. Nina Burns for this week's Ask the GP. And Nina is a GP, I should say, at Generation Health Medical Clinic. Nina, thanks a million, as always, for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron on News Talk.